Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call. Get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Rich, I'm going to ask you the way that I've asked other people, which is the power rankings of reasons for these pitchers' injuries. Now, usually when I ask this, the person I asked it to gives me one, their top one, and then we never get to number two. But we know there's a two, a three, a four, or whatever. So, you know, for instance, you know, you have the pitch clock, you have the lack of the sticky stuff, so you have to grip the ball harder. You have guys, pitchers obsessing over velocity and torque from a very early age. You have, I don't know, a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
So you're a student of the game. What is your power ranking?
What would volume? Volume. Amount volume. Of throwing. The amount of throwing that is going on with in conjunction with the chase and velocity. Not only the chase and velocity, but the chase and, you know, enhancing. I don't want to use that. It's not the correct phrase, but maximizing their abilities. But the volume really is the number one issue. So if you're just playing catch and you're working on a throwing program, you know, as a starter, we'll go as a starter. And you know, you have your 5-day program, maybe day one, you're just playing light toss or, you know, throwing balls in during batting practice just to get your arm moving a little bit. Day two, you know, you're playing a little bit more of a game of catch, maybe stretching out to 90 feet. Some guys, that is their bullpen day, and some guys have their bullpen day on day three. You know, and day three is another heavy workload day to, you know, pick up the ball and just putting more stress on your arm on that day three. So that's 2 days removed from a start that maybe through, let's just use 100 pitches as an example. But really in reality, it's probably closer to 200 pitches with the warm-up pitches that you've thrown. And then also, in between innings and then your warm-up pitches for the game. And then day four, the day before you start, you know, you're probably playing light catch again, and then you're back to another heavy workload day. But what I've seen and what is going on is in those days in between, now that's just like a normal kind of abbreviated talk on like a 5-day throwing program, right? And then, you know, but what I have seen is the increase in the weighted ball usage. So now you're coupling your throwing program with more volume because you're going to go and you know, you start off with doing a weighted ball kind of warm up or some throwing program with the weighted balls before you actually go out and throw a baseball. But I don't know how to quantify that volume of putting a 1 or 2 pound ball in your hand and doing reverse throws or putting, you know, a 9-ounce ball in your hand and, you know, doing some modified throws against the wall or with a catcher, and what that stress and how much stress that actually is, what the equivalent of that stress is to just one throw, right? Mm. So if you can equate one throw of a baseball to one throw with a 9-ounce ball, so the baseball is 5 ounces and, you know, the weighted ball is 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 5 being a baseball. And then, you know, onward up from there too, you know, you have 11 ounce, 12 ounce, and higher, but how much stress is that putting on, you know, your UCL, I was just reading, I think it was it Merrill Kelly just went down with a Terry's minor strain in his shoulder. Now, I have no idea what everybody's doing for throwing programs, but, you know, the amount of UCL injuries that are happening is an epidemic, right? I mean, that could be, yeah. And what we're seeing at the major league level is only what we're seeing at the major league level. So what's going on in the minor leagues? What's going on in college? What's going on in youth baseball? And, you know, this chase for, you know, something that we're kind of getting off track about what pitching is. It's not throwing. You know, we're not just throwers out on the mound. We got to get back to the sense of changing speeds, being deceptive, understanding, you know, how to move the ball in and out of the zone, up and down, back and back of the plate, front of the plate, and pitch and get back to pitching. And I think that, you know, if we make that quote unquote sexy again, instead of, you know, chasing velocity, I think that's something that may help, you know. And the other side of it too is like, well, if you can do it at 100 miles an hour, isn't that better? Yeah, of course it is. Of course, yes, it is. It's way better. And that would be awesome. But I just don't see that. There's great stories out there of guys that, you know, I was throwing 80 and then I got on this program and now I'm throwing 93 miles an hour. Well, what you don't see sometimes in those testimonials is that the kid was 17, had never been in a weight room, had never done really any training in his life. And naturally that's going to happen. Mm. You know, kids are going to get bigger, faster, stronger if they haven't done any work before.
Well, that's why, not to interrupt, but that's the thing about Tommy John surgeries, which I learned a long time ago. It used to be like guys coming back from Tommy John, they're like, oh, you're throwing harder. You must have a magical ligament. No, it's because you were able to train your body right. In a way that you had never trained your body before.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Well, I did it. Yeah, you did it. Right.
Well, I mean, you know, being able to have that time to really be able to get your steering wheel, your shoulder, strong and overall in a great position to maintain the workload for an entire season is the key. And that's really the secret to longevity, is that shoulder health. The elbow issues, when they do occur, and they happen for a multitude of reasons. Mine happened because of fatigue and an increased amount of volume. Hmm. When those two things meet and intersect, you're going to have an injury. And, you know, I think that's what we're seeing is, I'm not 100% sure if it's the increase. Everybody wants to, I think there are benefits to the weighted balls. I think there are benefits.
But if you do it the right way.
Right. If you do it the right way, but then if you were going to do a weighted ball program and I was going to do a weighted ball program, those are going to be two different. Everybody is different. Mm-hmm. So every program has to be completely designed for that individual. And I'll say it here as an announcement, first time, what I think, you know, baseball should do on the youth level after being in it for, you know, a couple months now, is go to a 4-ounce baseball for 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds, maybe even the 10 year olds. I don't know. But I think that the 4-ounce, they're throwing a 5-ounce baseball. That doesn't change all the way through. till you get to the big leagues. I mean, obviously, when you get to it's the same ball in the big leagues as it is in youth baseball,
right?
As it is in Babe Ruth or whatever. But I think that it starts at an early age too, and it's going to be a huge overhaul of the system as a whole. I'm not 100% sure what the
I like that solution though. Is, but, you know, I yeah. and I think that you talk about volume. Think about this, Rich, and I forget who had surfaced this to me. A lot of the guys getting hurt now are of a generation of a generation where it had become more specialized in terms of like you said, throwing baseball year round, throwing baseball harder. I mean, we're talking about, and I'm not picking on, like a Spencer Strider, right? Whatever, he's mid-20s, guys mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
Those guys coming up had a different mindset and a different routine and a different regimen and a different expectation than you mm-hmm. did when you sure. came up as a youth yeah. baseball player.
No, coming up, it was throw strikes. That was it. You know, I mean, if you had to pick one phrase, right? And then I think if you want to say the generation that is net is kind of, the last 5 years is throw harder.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much throw strikes, with these guys. I think it was, but again, I'm not going to sit there and say, I'm not like, wow, this is awesome seeing guys like what the human body can do. But now I think we're running into a fork in the road of how much.
What's your limits? Tanner Houck was on the podcast. He said, and this is a guy who has insane stuff. Like it's.
Yeah. I mean, Tanner could go out there and be 96, 97. He just pitched a complete game the other day. I watched it. It was beautiful. 92, 91, sinkers, ground balls.
But he came on, he said, and this was the end of spring training, he said, I think that the human body is reaching its physical limits. And and this is a guy who breaks off a slider like probably nobody, like except for you. You know, he's right-handed version of you. So I looked it up the other day. Like speaking of which, like sweeper. So if I go to Baseball Savant and I look at most the biggest horizontal break from sweeper, like you're at the top of the list last year. And then so you would have a good perspective of what Ben McDonald said. Because Ben was really good. Like I really enjoyed talking because he took the time to really ask people, look into stuff. He rattled off each topic. So one of the things I've asked guys who's tried to learn a sweeper, and they said I stopped because it was hurting my elbow. And I'm not saying it hurts your elbow all the time, like obviously you have one. But
yeah, well, I also have had two. In when I was 39, I had the internal brace put in.
Right.
Was the first pitcher to come back and actually successfully pitch in the big leagues with the internal brace. And then in 2011, I had Tommy John surgery. So, injuries are going to happen. That's like to see guys going down at the rate that they're going down, it is disheartening because I think also that it's baseball is a great game. It's a lot of fun and it's a beautiful game, but it's also now putting a bad kind of marker on the game for the youth, right? So now what we're seeing is this trend of kids that were, the drop off of 80% after Little League. I don't want to see that go higher. I don't want to see that go into the 85, 90%, right? But we're doing that with the health of baseball already by cutting minor league teams, by cutting the draft, by eliminating jobs in baseball that, otherwise people who wanted to be, it's my cat. I don't know if you heard that.
No,
it was my cat meowing. he agrees with me.
It's good. You have a studio audience. It's nice. You take it next level. I like this.
Yeah. But I think so now with the injuries, where again, you could be in Provo, Utah and not have the opportunity to see, Mookie Betts or a first round pick, an elite player that someday in the big leagues come through your town. and say, wow, I get to see, you know, one of the best major league players ever, you know, stand here at this place, whatever. Or just even other jobs in general, a general manager, somebody who got an opportunity to run the concessions, somebody who, you know, worked concessions, somebody who took tickets. You know, maybe that sparks something for a kid that says, I want to get into baseball. Hmm. Well, it's gone now, you know, that's gone. So, you know, let alone, you know, the uniform issue. And these are things I know we joke about it, but it's the big leagues. It's the big leagues. Do better, you know, be better. It's just not, it's, I just, that's the frustrating part about it for me, because it's almost like a joke. And it's unfortunate because, you know, it's, I don't know, it's tough to see where the health of the game is going, as opposed to, you know, the where it should be thriving at the youth level. And we're talking here about injuries, and, you know, I don't want to sit here and have this conversation. It stinks, you know, to see it happening. But what, you know, again, back to your point, the original, what is the solution for it? I am not.
Well, you had some good solutions.
Bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
But you were
saying,
what was Ben saying? Well, I'm interested because he.
Oh, well, he was, you know, he was just talking about, he went down the list really of, you know, you have the lack of sticky stuff because you have to now grip the ball harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's more torque. You know, the pitch clock was, Kenley actually had a very good case for the pitch clock, and obviously he had to rush things up, but he didn't just say, oh, he's making everyone rush. He talked about the recovery time, the oxygen that your muscles need to get, you know, mm-hmm. replenish themselves, and especially when you're trying to throw harder than ever and do it boom 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 boom, which again to me it was a good way to look at it. It made sense. So and of course, and you know, Ben McDonald was the GOAT, you know, in
yeah.
first round overall pick. And
yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember getting that. That was a chase for that rookie card. That was a good rookie card.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's the same thing. It's like, you know, throwing hard and, but he just went down the list and again, he mentioned the sweeper, but it's not only the sweeper, it's manipulating the baseball. And one of the things is, and I think that he had a great analogy for it. You know, if you know, you're doing something that you're not used to doing, and then you do it, and you know, that's your body's not going to be equipped to do it a lot of times, right.
And
we're all chasing, you know, the one finger shit kicker or whatever it is, you know, it's like we're all chasing the magic pitch, and we love when pitching ninjas like, look at this, I just saw a thing Sam Dykstra wrote for MLB.com about Paul Skenes. You know, Paul Skenes has this hybrid pitch, right? So we're all coming up with this. Well, that's all well and good, but you know, when you have a guy throwing something that his body isn't used to throwing, it has to enter into the equation at some point, I think.
Oh yeah, because you haven't, especially when you add the amount of intensity and torque and you know, everything that you're the forces that you're putting on your elbow and your not just your elbow, I mean your knee, your hip, your back, your shoulder. You know, I think a lot of the main you know, talk for pitchers getting injured, we're always going to go right to the elbow, but how many guys are going down with, you know, back issues or lat issues or knee issues, because, you know, you're not only intensifying the torque on your elbow, but your shoulder, I mean, everywhere else in your body.
Well, that's what Kenley was saying about how he used the weightlifting analogy. You know, if you're lifting weights and you said, hurry up, you know, power, like do it. And then your form's going to be, you know, a little out of whack the more you hurry up. And the pitch lock isn't going to go anywhere. You know, I think we are in agreement. Maybe you didn't need to shave off the 2 seconds.
I had, you know, obviously, again, I'm still always going to be against the outcome of the clock, right? I'm not against the clock. I'm against the outcome of the clock, because I, you know, somebody who walks into Fenway Park and sits down the third baseline, pays $150 for a ticket, here comes you know, Rafi Devers coming up to hit. It's a 3-2 count. Oh, strike three.
Yeah.
What? What? I paid for that. So I think that, you know,
but it made it made no sense, Rich.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that, you know, they can make a case for the pitch clock. What they can't make a case for is, all right, we get it. Everyone got used to the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Fine. Number one, let's take a breather. And this is another thing Kenley said, and I agree with him. Let's take a breather. Let's not get prideful. What worked, what didn't. Is the time that we've set the correct time? And number two, why we all can accept that we've gotten used to it, certainly more in April than October.
Sure.
Then why are you asking us to get used to two more seconds off? Like there is, it means all that is going to do is going to exacerbate the injury problem. I mean,
and to Kemley's point and to what you're saying is, you know, I think that has something to do with it. And, you know, is there a liability issue here? You know what I mean? Honestly, you know, at the end of the day,
That's what he said. You know, average major leaguer, you know, whatever, three and a half years in the big leagues. And that's another problem I have, and where, you know, you hear some people in baseball and they're like, well, the pitches are better than ever. People are getting more of a chance than ever because they're able to become something that they would never have become because of all these different measurements and mechanics and
everything else.
But the problem with that, okay, well, you're getting to become better, whether you're a major leaguer who's already there and becoming better or someone who's not going to be in the major leagues and become a major leaguer, fine. But what is the toll that is going to take down the line? And that, I guess, we don't know. So
no, you don't know. And I think at the other side, are guys ready or are we bringing guys up too fast? Are guys getting rushed to the big leagues because
938 pitchers last year.
Yeah, well.
In the big leagues.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's, you know, again, I don't – what are we valuing? You know, is it the progression of getting the player ready? And obviously from the business standpoint, it's W's at the end of the day, and we need, you know, guys that are going to provide innings. You need to cover almost close to 2,000 innings for a year, right? So you're going to have to find the arms to do that. But seeing the guys, you know, rushed up to the big leagues, you know, on one end, you have the player who's excited because, like, I'm not going to say no, I'm in the big leagues and this is awesome. But again, if they're another year of development or 2 years of development, you know, and again, this is where it comes into cutting out the minor league teams. And guys are jumping from, you know, maybe rookie ball league now, or whatever the development league that they're calling it, to double A, and then from double A to triple A or double A to the big leagues. I mean, you know, the intensity that goes from pitching in a backfield game, obviously you try to create that in your mind. You try to create the environment and bring that same kind of, intensity that you would have in a major league setting, but just putting yourself in there with the fans and the moment and everything, it kind of, you know, raises your level of effort without you even really knowing it, right? So now you're already putting more torque on your shoulder, your elbow as a young player, and you might see a spike in your velocity even when you get up to the big leagues because of, you know, obviously getting that kind of juice from playing in the environment, which you wouldn't get in rookie ball, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.